Hello, and good day to you from episode 10 of our podcast series, Project Breakaway, a metaphorical and literal time in the day when we here at Predator Cycling take some time away from working in the back shop to come and share with our listeners what we're doing, how we're doing it, and what it takes to do it, our ideas, our innovative success stories, and even our missteps and failures. If you find yourself with an interest in bicycles, composite manufacturing, out-of-the-box design, or even curiosities beyond, I encourage you to stick with us, settle in, and learn a little. I'm Courtney B., co-owner and project manager of Predator Cycling. I'm here with my partner, Aram Goganian, the other co-owner, CEO, lead designer and engineer, and simulation superstar of Predator Cycling. Today, Aram and I are excited to have our second guest on the show.
So welcome, Kurt Chan. Kurt, you are the senior product marketing manager at Ansys, a highly professional engineering simulation and design software company. And it just so happens that we here at Predator utilize your software for our frames and components. So welcome, Kurt. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for having me on today.
Yeah, thank you for being our second guest. So, as a quick overview, Aram and Kurt have known each other over a number of years. Kurt onboarded us at Autodesk when we were just really starting to dive into CAM softwares. And I think ever since, both Kurt and Aram have really progressed in the industry across service, application, and proficiencies. Kurt has now carried us into the Ansys family of software and showed us the potential of our simulation evolution.
Ooh.
So, Kurt, real talk.
Yep.
Did you think that you'd still be involved with this nerdy Armenian guy who was working out of a cinder block garage 7 years ago?
You know, we go way back, right? Like, when you gave that intro, it brought me back in time to when I pulled up and I saw you in there with Kaching Song, who we all know well. Yeah. And it's a memory, right? It's a memory that I will never forget of, hey, look, we're just two dudes that are going to come and interview you and just have a conversation and learn about our customers, right? And I think that's the best part is you look at where we are now, seven years later, which is mind-blowing, that my business motto is think relationships first, business second, right? And when, you know, we just keep in touch, and I think we can all agree, like, we've all been to the trade shows, the, you know, Autodesk universities, all these different events where we run into the same people, run into other customers, and we just have this great relationship. And when I made a transition over to Ansys, in my career, we were just candidly having a conversation of like, what do you guys, what does Ansys do? Oh, well, we do this. And you're like, well, you guys do something with composites? Well, yeah, we like lead. We're a leader in that. Oh, well, this is awesome. And it wasn't like, I'm not a sales guy. It's not like, oh, well, hey, I've moved now another sales role and I'm trying to sell you something else or I'm trying to fit what will, you know, work for you guys. It was just like, oh, well, you guys actually have a solution. This is great. Let me educate myself more. And hey, wait, this can save me time. And oh, you guys have a startup program too? Like this is phenomenal. And then you guys have a partnership now with Autos. It just gets better and better, right? And I think things just kind of fell together or unfolded as we just continued our conversations professionally, right? Just casually professionally, but more of it's our conversations are more of, hey man, how's the family doing? Hey, how's business? Like, what's new? What new CNC machine you got? Oh, you're doing this? So it's been a great adventure and an awesome friendship.
Yeah. I think that segues right into my next question is who and what is Ansys and what is the solution that Ansys offers their customers?
Yes. It for all the engineers who are listening, right? I think they have heard of the name, right? And you'll hear the different pitches of, you know, we're the gold standard when it comes to simulation. And people are like, well, what is simulation? Well, think about us at Ansys of what we do. If you look at your everyday life, right? Of what you do and how you go about, like whether the cell phone you're tweeting from to the airplane you're getting on to travel to the car you're driving in, right? Simulation plays such an important role in those types of industries. Because when you look at what we can do at Ansys is that we can digitally simulate to know, hey, will this product fail at what time and how long is the life of that product going to be? Or based on weights, if I sat in this chair, well, what's the maximum weight it can take based off different material properties? And until I came here, yes, simulation gets very nerdy. And you know, it's funny because we have more than 750 PhDs here at Ansys. Like, that's like a third of our working staff. Like, I'd make the joke when I go to the office, I'm like, oh, yeah, we got more PhDs in this building than like the hospital down the street. No, more doctors in this building than the hospital down the street, right? But it's such a just interesting dynamic of super smart people. But then you look at like the behind the scenes of what you can do with our technology, simulating it, it's remarkable, right? I learn every day. I see a different equation on the whiteboard every day or talk to somebody differently every day. So we forget the importance of how that fits into a product development process here at Ansys.
Mm. Great. Yeah, I've been geeking out over how much you can simulate. I was like, we've been scratching the surface of simulation for years and going more. And now with Ansys, like taking a deep dive into it, it's like, it's endless. It's pretty cool.
Right.
Just to add to that too, Aram, is like people are afraid of simulation. Like, to be very frank, they feel like they got to be extremely smart or have a PhD, or like they feel that barrier to entry is like, oh, well, I got to go to the expert to do this stuff all the time. And yes, there are like people that are experts specifically in that. But you know, the end goal is, hate to use the word democratization, right? But it's really like, how do you introduce simulation more in design processes? And I'm sure we'll talk about where it fits in, but end of the day, it's we're taking down that barrier to entry, right? Which is great, because like you, I'm a manufacturing guy. That's how we met,
right? Right.
Manufacturing, right?
Yep.
Doing something different. So it's all about new challenges.
Down the barrier to entry for us was basically the introduction as a small business. Yep. So you, Kurt, were a key resource for our small business. So Aram, how do we here at Predator use Ansys in our design workflow?
Well, as Kurt was talking about introducing simulation early on, that's something that was really big for us. We started that process in Fusion because Fusion had simulation built in, and we started doing simulation, you know, actually as soon as they introduced it into the process of our designing our products. And then we started using, we kind of hit like a wall of where we couldn't go any farther because we couldn't simulate composites. And there wasn't like a CFD option and things like that. And that's why we started looking at other things, and that rolled into Ansys. And now with Ansys, we can actually simulate wind flow, drag, and all of our composite structures. But what I didn't know until we actually started playing with Ansys was with Discovery. We can actually simulate like live simulation while modeling. So that's a big thing that we introduced in our workflow, so that we could introduce simulation during the concept stages of a product. So we'll start on a product now and we're literally simulating, 30 minutes into designing a part. Mm-hmm. And so we can kind of get rid of that like design bias, that engineering bias that you have. And that's something that's big for me because, you know, I've been doing bikes for 20 years now, and you have this thing, it's like, oh, I know the best way this is going to work. And then with simulation, it kind of takes that out. I'll put something in there and I'll be like, oh, like it's saying that I did that wrong, or I should, you know, look at load forces coming from a different direction, and it helps you design a part better. So, Ansys has now become part of our workflow. It's simulation is something we run every single day, multiple times a day.
The biggest key point I took from that was like live mm-hmm. simulation. And it's absolutely interesting, right? Because we're all like, oh, well, we just like expect it to be live. Because you, when you CAD model, right, as you design something, like you're doing an extruder, you're doing this pull, or if you're in Fusion, this T-spline surface, like that's live. But when it comes to simulation, people understand it's like, well, you know, it can take some computing power, and then two, hours, even days to get a result back. And then you can come back and be like, well, that was wrong. Like, now I gotta go waste another 4 hours to rerun this. And I think that's the where the industry is transitioning to, right? Or what we're doing here at ANSYS is from a, we call it live physics. Our live physics solver within Discovery enables you to experiment very quickly, iterate, yep. and then move forward. And, you know, you look at about, like, and you know me, right? 6 years at Autodesk, like I bleed Fusion. Like I love that product. Oh, yeah. Like I was a part of that at the beginning, and that's a seminal piece to me. And it has simulation products in there, and they're mm-hmm. still great, right? It's just yep. dependent on, well, what's the workflow you're trying to accomplish, right? Too, and then, you know, we'll talk about it. Material properties, right? Like what you guys right. do, like not everybody does 661 T6, right? Like that's not just
wait, you, what is that?
Like, aluminum, right? Like everybody's okay. just, you know, using the same aircraft. No, like you right, guys right. do specific things, and especially when it gets to composites. So yep. we offer well, a that, lot to talk about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that for us was a big thing with one of our handicaps with mm-hmm. Fusion and a lot of other simulation tools was custom materials mm-hmm. and being able to simulate custom materials in that. So it gets tricky. It gets really hard. And that's which is one of the new products that we're introducing is our direct to 3D print manufacturing of some of our parts. And we couldn't do that originally. We didn't originally go down that path because we couldn't figure out if it was going to be viable or not. And with ANSYS and a bunch of the material simulators and the material libraries that we have access to, we could actually build custom material profiles for parts, for materials that we had that we could print. And then we could actually simulate those parts before we even got the materials in-house. We could figure out our cost matrix. We could figure out if it's viable, output levels, consistency of parts. We could figure all that out, you know, before even buying anything. Like we just simulate that way ahead of time. And that's something we've been playing with a lot. And again, it's like especially using topology optimizers. Oh, that's fun. And you just watch the part, like,
explain to me what topology optimizers are.
So, well, topology optimization is looking at a body. So I'll give you an example in our workflow. So we take a part, we'll design the original part, we'll design in typically in Fusion. And then from Fusion, we'll send that over to ANSYS Discovery, which now has a built-in tool so you can mm-hmm. send it, which is really cool.
Oh, that's recent too, right?
Yeah.
Because RM was like literally at his desk. I think he's singing a song about the ease of transfer from that program probably... to the other program.
Oh, yeah. There was
if you ever need a jingle maker for any new...
Yeah, a really bad jingle maker, give me a call. I'll sing you a really bad song.
We should have that, your jingle maker there. When you click the button, it just like sings to somebody. So it's just it just goes over during the export. Oh, that's awesome. That'd be,
they hate that. that was a super cool feature. But we'll send a body into Discovery, and then from there we'll run the first thing I typically do is actually run topology op, set up my model, and then run a topology optimization, which basically is looking to remove excess material that's unnecessary to achieve the properties that you're trying to reach in your part. Mm-hmm. And for me, it gets rid of that, something I said about earlier, is that bias. I have that design bias inherently always. Mm-hmm. So it kind of says, oh wait, you know, why are you putting material here? You should put more material here, or, you know, move things around. And then in Discovery, you can actually add body, like you can add to the body and modify the bodies that you brought in. So I can actually add and build to it and then run that topology optimization again. And it's doing it live. And it's pulling results from every change that I make. So I can kind of manipulate the part, understand better where the forces and loads are coming from and how much material I need and what I don't need. I can run graphs on the side and it tells me my weights and my targets and my deflection, and it's really cool. It's really cool.
You bring up so many great points here, because like, and yes, I work for ANSYS, right? But like, you look at the market of, there's a lot of products out there that do generative design or topology optimization, right? And you know, people can go down that rabbit hole of like, oh, what's the difference? Yeah, you know, we'll save that for another conversation. But you look at, you know, the value, right? Like what just as a whole topology optimization is allowing you to explore, right? In your product development process. Absolutely. And we just do it the fastest, right? Just because of like our technology, or leveraging our live physics, leveraging our partnership with NVIDIA. And, and you know, you guys did a phenomenal story with Lenovo, beautiful around how hardware plays such an important role in computing, right? Because people think, well, you know, you got the cloud. And it's like, well, you know, the cloud is like technically just 10 of these other desktops here hooked up together doing your stuff.
Well, it may
like,
be 10 of your desktops, but it's not 10 of my desktops.
Exactly, right? It's one of yours. But that's the thing for people to remember is that, you know, it's still going somewhere to compute. Right. Like you can just now, why not just have the comfort right there and have it live? Absolutely. So there's so many different avenues we can go down in regards to our technology and leveraging it. But it's impressive to see that people like you can now explore fast and make decisions faster, right? Yep. And I think that's just across what every engineer or small business wants, right? What is it? Fail fast and learn from it, right? And move forward. And if the last thing you want is a hiccup in technology to slow that down, because like I've been in this game for some time, and I remember starting off where you wait, or you have hardware issues, or you have these things that slow you down as production. Yeah. And in today's, like, you know, we live in, as Gary Vee says, right? Big fan of his stuff. We live in the best time of society. Like, and not saying because it's like we're, you know, it's 2021 and there's so much technology. It's like, no, like the opportunities we have today versus what somebody had 5 years ago, like cell phones were still around, internet was around, but it's just what we now can do with that technology. It's gotten, it's improved so much that
it's scary.
We can do so much now. Yeah.
Well, I had this conversation with my mom a couple days ago, and I was telling her, I was like, when I first started Predator, was just thinking about starting it. I was 14, 15. And I was kind of like, I was reading an article about like, you know, simulation and all these cool things you can do. And I'm like, one day you're going to be able to do this, this, and this, and all this crazy stuff. And like, I was just joking with her. I was like, oh my gosh, we're actually doing it now. Like, we actually have stuff that was like, just like concepts, or like, there was no way. It was aerospace only, defense only, medical use only. Yeah. You know, now a tiny company like us that wants to try and push it as hard as we can, we can actually get access to this stuff.
Well, the availability, I think now, I mean, we were fortunate to be onboarded with Ansys into your starter program. So what are the benefits of that program for businesses that might not be aerospace?
Yeah, it's, you know, we're introducing the affordability and the availability of simulation, right? And when you look at the Ansys startup program, and for those people that, or those companies that are listening that are like, I didn't know Ansys had that. Well, we do, right? And it's a very simple process. And we work hand in hand with our channel partners to provide that support. We're here to then make sure that you got, like, startups, we understand how expensive simulation can be, and based off startup budgets and how things work for budgets and so forth. The overall goal is to make sure we can help you guys be successful, right? And I think that's with any startup program, is that, you know, you look at what Autodesk does, it's all about that success and then adoption, because if you're going to be successful with it, you're going to help evangelize too, right? It's this community we want to help support. And because, you know, you guys could be the company, right? People always forget. People say, they're just this small company over here. You guys could be the company that Trek buys out, right? Because of this. Like, how many times do you hear about, out of Silicon Valley, Google buying the startup that I was just working with, or some other company? Like, it's just, this is not 1995 anymore, right? Like, we have people that are not even going to college and just go starting a business and getting bought out by, you know, Facebook or whatever, right? It's just the opportunity. So the being in the game of startups is not only one, helping them be, funding is not the right word, not helping them fund their business, but it's just more of helping them drive success criteria, right? And be successful. And you know, we have different criteria here with our startup program, but it's all relative to all the other variables you have for your business.
For sure. I mean, we were just talking about this, was it 2 weeks ago when we were with, we had a call with Lenovo, some of the guys from Lenovo, and we were talking about some of the, like, the P620 that we've been testing out, and they just released, you were talking about the story earlier, and I mean, with the with a workstation like that, and you know, we have the we're running the NVIDIA RTX A6000, so this monster GPU system, and that leveraging it with ANSYS software. I mean, it has completely changed. It completely accelerated the rate of how fast we're designing and building stuff here. I mean, now, I mean, all of our molds now we run. I never thought I would be running thermal testing on all of our little molds and products that we run, and we're doing it now. I mean, it's the RF20, our new road frame that we're working on, mm-hmm. has we're able to bring that to market now because of the simulation and hardware that we have. I mean, otherwise, I don't think we could have done it. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have figured everything out. It would have taken us so long. Every time you prototype something, and then you try and do a test, and you do a prototype, and then it doesn't work quite right. And it's like, well, why didn't it work right?
Yeah.
And that's like the thing that simulation always, it's helped us answer that question of why didn't it work? What happened? You know, where was the pressure? Where did that pressure go? What happened? Why did we get a cool spot in our mold there? I mean, like, all these types of little questions that we always ask, now we can figure it out before we even make the part. So it just helped us accelerate that process so much. And that's getting us now to finish parts. And it's actually, you know, now opened us up so that we're finishing that part. We're actually going into whole new sectors that we didn't think we would, because we have the simulation capacity. It's completely changed. Simulation, I mean, in my opinion, simulation now is on par with like CAD and modeling as a necessity. Like, you have to have it. If you don't have
it,
that's
awesome.
I mean, if you don't have, yeah, I mean, you have it, it's part of it. It's just, it's not something separate. It's simulation design. It's
one,
connected.
Pretty much one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In our workflow, it's one thing. I mean, there's no separation. It's just you model it and you simulate it. Like, and we're simulating while we're modeling, like, mm-hmm. And that back and forth. Because otherwise, to be honest, it becomes a waste of time. Like, why would you? I mean, I don't want to make a bunch of parts that aren't going to work or have fail points that we could easily figure out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. I know which is awesome. Your clientele who tunes in is a mixture of everybody, right? And my question, man, is like, all I hear about is road bikes, man. And what's up with the mountain bike? When is that coming to market?
The what?
Mountain bikes.
I don't know what that is.
He's like, what?
What, huh? You know, it's funny you say that because we get hit up all the time for mountain, like not all the time, but it's a question that comes up a lot. You know, my big thing is my obsession when it comes to, especially with Predator, my obsession of designing and building parts that we know everything about. So like for me, I grew up racing road, track, time trial. That was the scene that I grew up in. I did race some mountain bikes, but like that's what I know really well. Like I know my geometries, I know my parts, I know my layups. Mm-hmm. Mountain bikes is like there's more variables that I just I don't know that well.
Yeah,
plus I don't think Courtney's gonna let me take on another project.
Oh my god. I mean, now that we have the ease of doing much more with all of the softwares and hardwares that we've acquired in the last couple of months, it's too much. It's too much for me to handle all of his inventions that are now coming to life.
It's all your fault.
And all good. And just, you know, putting that spark in, right, in your mind. But it's like, I have not had a chance to road bike, right? And look, I live in Southern California, right? So I should be road bike, you know, and that's kind of the piece of the puzzle is we have so many people here that like that kind of community is huge, right? Like I didn't realize it until you start doing it and you're like, oh, I didn't know like all these people do it, right? And just colleagues, friends, we can, you know, have, it's like golfing, right? You can catch up with somebody, still have fun, get exercise, like do all these different things. And it's such a great community to be a part of. So I wish for those people that are thinking about getting into it, I did this a long time ago, right?
Yeah. Cycling, you don't realize either like how you're everywhere. Like I was doing, when we were doing our Lenovo customer story, there was a couple people that were on one of the calls like, oh, I'm a cyclist. Like, you know, and it was really interesting. Like we had mutual friends and we knew people and it was like, oh, like that's funny. It's we're everywhere. We've gone all over the world.
Yeah. I think all of these wonderful tech companies should really invest in a fleet of RF-20s for their employees to ride and show off how their hard work affects their customers.
It should. They should.
They should. A fleet of bikes.
You know, and have it like at like the campuses, right? Like that's what you're going to take, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Out across like Apple or Google's campus, and mm-hmm. there's the fleet. You take it and you go and you start that adoption, the seating there. Like, mm-hmm. oh, this is nice, right? So, yeah, I'm on that same page.
Well, I think we touched on quite a lot of stuff. I did want to ask you before we wrapped it up. I know ARM uses Ansys Discovery a lot, but I know there's a family of Ansys softwares, and I didn't know if you wanted to maybe quickly talk about how maybe Discovery is a gateway into other Ansys products or the integration of the family of Ansys products.
Yeah, so Discovery is a great tool from, you know, it's a mixture of things, right? It's based off our Space Claim architecture. If you guys are familiar with Space Claim, direct modeling, great with STL scan data reverse engineering. But, you know, that platform was partnered with, when we got Discovery, it was partnered with NVIDIA to leverage the GPU base to give you that live physics instantaneously. But as we start progressing, right, it's great for design exploration, right? And then we leverage our flagship tools, right? Like we use, that's, I call flagship tools an Ansys term, right? Because people at Ansys know what that is. But for people that don't know what flagship is, we consider that like our, you may have heard of like CFD or Fluent for airflow structures. You have mechanical, Ansys Mechanical just turned 50 years old. Mechanical just turned 50 years old. We had the event, I think maybe you attended Level Up, which was all around Ansys Mechanical, talks about all, so it's just amazing to hear about like our technology, how long it's been around, but we integrate with them, right? So like you can go ahead and say, all right, I want to now get nitty gritty on my mesh. Okay, great. You can go and go into Ansys Mechanical. A big thing is, we even talked about this offline, was material properties, right?
Oh yeah.
You look at Ansys Granta and what you can do there of breaking down, like no one's using all these cookie cutter ones, right? So how do you start figuring out and leveraging all these composites, material properties? We were trying to do something with Girl Scouts, and like we wanted to like, well, what's the material property of a cookie? Like, what can we do to like show, like, because it's, you know, cookie season right now, right? So like some fun project and just show like convection in an oven and what's the times of it, just to nerd out and be like, look, this is, people never thought about this with simulation, but this is what you can do.
Absolutely.
So it's just the opportunity of, and then we get into then now, I just like another wavelength here of, you look at like what we have with our Sherlock products and our HFSS, and like how you can look at like the radiation off of like a cell phone to the light beam off of a BMW and how it spreads. And I mean, you can really nerd out with some of the products.
I've seen some of you guys have little demos. You have little demo videos of it, and it's like all this stuff. Like, what?
I was like, you could simulate, like, who would even thought? I think that's the biggest thing. What surprised me, not surprised me, but just wowed me, coming like now joining Ansys a couple of years ago, was just like, whoa, like I didn't understand. Really, and just like you said earlier, people don't understand what simulation does, right? Yeah. Like, and how it's used. And when you start educating yourself on, oh, well, it does do this. This is phenomenal, right? Yeah. So to answer your question, Courtney, like as you said, we had a team meeting today and we said, well, how many products do we have? There's 75 products, I believe, here at Ansys.
It's a little over. I mean, to be honest,
it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming for me when I started playing with it. And that's why I had this, I actually would start going to Discovery. I mean, I still do it now, but I take my projects into Discovery first. That's where I design it. And then from Discovery, I push it out to Mechanical and Fluent. Like that's how I take it. Usually I've been taking a lot of parts, unless I'm doing just shells for like composites, then I don't. But if otherwise, if it's a non-composite part, that's how I do it. It gives me an easy gateway into Workbench and everything. So
Great. Awesome. Well, I'm more interested in how simulation is perfecting an already perfect Thin Mint with the Girl Scouts.
Exactly. Right.
How could you make it any better?
I don't know how you could even attempt to make it better.
So the only way to make a Thin Mint better is put it in the freezer. And have you guys done that?
I'm already 10 steps ahead of you.
Yeah, like that. Like we just sold a boatload the other day because my daughter's in Girl Scouts. And it's just like, I was like, man, like this is like, I got to like push this inventory out of my garage because I'm going to gain like 7 pounds, you know? So it's just, it's like a religion. Like people love it. Like, and so with COVID, like,
you they're online now. You can just order it to your door.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But like the whole enjoyment is like seeing them at like the grocery store and they're like, hey, what's up? And you're like, yeah, sure. Here's $5. Right. But you can't even go door to door in California. They're not allowing you. They don't want that. You can't post up. So when you do post up, like in front of your house in a safe environment, people are flooding you because you're like, oh, this is awesome. And, you know, what we're doing is I bought a fishing pole net. That's 6 feet long. So to make people feel comfortable, you put the money in there, put the cookie, boom, grab it. You know, just to, you know, everybody has their own opinion, but just to be safe. And we're seeing success. So thanks for asking.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we are glad that you came on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
And I also thank you for taking Arm's phone calls, even though they're so long.
Yeah, I apologize.
It doesn't even matter because it's not a... I have a customer calling me for support. It's a friend calling a friend. Hey, yo, I need some advice. Oh, what do I do? Right. I think personally, that's the whole key to these, this is what I wake up for every day. Right. I think a lot of people do this, right? Like you have these customers you support. I love doing this. I love working with people, working with our customers, and you're going to get the good, the bad, the ugly, right? Like some days I got to play therapist, right? And listen and just be like, yes, I know.
Hey,
you know,
I thought that was confidential.
Right? I thought that was my job. Yeah,
right? You know, I know you're upset. I'll talk with development, right? And then there's other days where, you know, hey, look at what it's done for me and my business. Okay. This is where we're going, right? So it's just, you just learn a lot from your customers and that's why we're here. So
great.
Learned a lot today. Well, thank you for having me once again.
Yeah, we'll surely be talking about Ansys going forward as we get through Aram's massive product catalog that's swimming around in his head.
Awesome.
So, Kurt, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
We thank you for choosing to take some time with us, and we look forward to future breakaways. Look for us on Instagram and LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and in person here in Tennessee. We ask our listeners to please share, like, and subscribe. We're available on all major streaming platforms. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, and find some time to break away.